Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show. You heard it. This is the DL Link show. And this is the show where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. I'm Nikki Seberini on 101.9 High FM with you for the next hour. And it's always lovely to be with you. And while we are, I don't know where you are in the world, but certainly I am here in Joburg. The clouds are gathering. We're not sure if the sun is going to shine or if it is going to rain. But if we just sort of transport ourselves mentally a fair distance, quite specifically Israel and Jerusalem, we're going to get into the vibe for the Jerusalem Marathon. So I know that Michelle is there. I'm not sure if Tammy is there, but I know that the vibe is building. It's pretty extraordinary because literally one day left. And there are 50 DL Link runners who are going to be taking to the hills of Jerusalem, and they are running to bring hope and strength to the cancer warriors that they are honoring tomorrow. Now, the DL Link, it's more than just a race. It's a chance to achieve something great, and through commitment and endurance, our participants have trained to get to the finish line. And they're doing it with the name of a warrior in their hearts and on their shirts. So this event brings inspiration to DL Link families, as well as raise much needed funds so that the DL Link can continue to provide valuable lifestyle support. So this is a perfect opportunity to support the DL Link. How? Just make a donation. Doesn't matter how small, just a donation. It's you showing your support, giving in energy, giving in love, connection. And you'll be doing that in honor of a runner and indirectly in honor of a cancer warrior as well. So every donation goes directly to the vital services for cancer warriors. And it is eligible for a Section 18A deduction. So you can donate now. Go to the dllink.co.za/donate and make your donation. So the whole year, we've been building up to the 4th of April. And finally, it is nearly upon us. And really, just to get the energy going and to give you an idea of the DL Link, we're going to go a little bit behind the scenes. We talk about the extraordinary family at the DL Link, the work that they do, the lives that they impact. So it's pretty amazing that two of them will be joining us today. So we're going to be starting off with Gabby Joseph. I remember meeting Gabby all those years ago when I first started hosting the show. And I remember each and every time speaking to a cancer warrior, they would always talk about Gabby and what he has given them, because he is the patient liaison officer, and he has got a heart of gold, but also has run in the Jerusalem Marathon. So wow, Gabs, welcome, and lovely. I know we had to pull you here because you prefer to be behind the scenes.
Exactly.
But welcome.
Thanks, Haniki. Nice chatting to you again. And thanks for having us, I guess. Thanks for hosting it for us again. So I don't know if you mentioned before that I ran the Jerusalem Marathon. I don't know if running is exactly the right word. Well, I've plodded.
Okay.
I've plodded through the streets of Jerusalem. But the experience, and it's just unbelievable experience and amazing to be there. I've got a bit of FOMO, I must admit, that I wasn't there this year. But the team is in great hands with Michelle and Tammy is there. And I know they're going to have the best time ever. And I know they're going to conquer the streets of Jerusalem in aid of, you know, warriors and for their recovery and for their health and just for good things. And also, obviously, to raise money for the DL Link so we can carry on doing the work that we do and building the center that we're busy building at the moment, which is going great guns. And we can chat about that later. But yeah, so yeah, thank you. Thanks for your kind words earlier on.
Amazing, Gabs. So let's go back just a little bit and then we'll unpick all of it. But starting off, I mean, when I first met you, Gabs, because it is nice to, you know, there's some people who may be tuning in for the first time or haven't been listening for that long and they don't know you very well. But you started because you are a personal trainer. So you were helping people with fitness and with health. Am I correct? Is that your first introduction or connection with the DL Link?
So not really, actually. So How it really started was, yes, I'm a personal trainer, and I had my own personal training business, and I worked in the health and fitness industry for many years. But actually, how it happened is that I was at my mom's house the one time, and she was busy making all these different meals. And I said to her, "What are you doing?" And she said, "No, I'm just, this was like 14 years ago, about 14 years ago. And she was saying, "I'm just, there's this new organization that started that is there very young and, you know, and just there to help cancer warriors and cancer patients and their families with, you know, a little bit of stuff that we can help, a little bit of the emotional and the logistical and the social, you know, that type of support." And my mom says, "Yeah, I'm just making meals for them." So I said, "Hey, well, that sounds great, you know. I've got a bit of time, thank God. My business has always been kind to me, thank God. So I got a bit of time, and let me try and get involved." So I phoned Sharon, who was the patient liaison at that time, and I said, "Can I help with anything, you know?" And she says, "Well, what can you do?" So I said, "Well, whatever you need." She says, "Well, can you deliver a meal today?" So I said, "Sure." So I went there and I fetched a meal and I delivered it to people. And then the next day I took somebody to, you know, I was volunteering. I took somebody to their treatment, and then I got involved with a very elderly couple who lived in Berea on their own. He was 104 and she was 95, and they both had cancer living on their own. Wow. And so I got involved with them. And then slowly and slowly and, you know, I got more and more involved as a volunteer. And then Sharon went back to live in Canada, and then Michelle, who was, you know, the director, the boss at the time, phoned me and said to me, "Do you want to do this full time and take over Sharon's job?" I said, "Well, I'm happy, I've already got a full-time job." She says, "No, we'll negotiate, you know, Michelle. Oh, we'll sort it out, we'll do something, you know."
Once she set her eyes on you, you didn't know what you were doing.
And thank God, the rest is history. And what a blessing, and what a journey, and what a ride it's been. I'm very grateful every day to be able to do this work and to meet the people and take inspiration from them. And, you know, we don't realize how hard it is to get up and having to fight with a smile on your face every day when you're faced with such a challenge and such, you know, and the certainty of the unknown and completely an overwhelming, you want to call it, illness or dread or disease like cancer, you know. So we take inspiration from them, and it's been such a blessing to an humbling experience since that day to be able to do this work that we do, you know. And obviously we're part of a big team, and you know, there's a whole lot of us that work together, and I can't just take credit for myself. We all work together and we all pull with one another and form an amazing team that works and be able to help the families and the warriors like we do. So it's been really a blessing, and I thank God for it every day that I'm able to do it.
Wow, Gubs. You know, and we're gonna bring Terry in a moment, but I just want to say, I mean, you mentioned the word dread disease. And, you know, it is human nature, these uncomfortable conversations, these uncomfortable things, to turn away from it, to, you know, we used to talk about the C word, and here you are. This is what you do. You phone people. That's the first introduction. You go see people. You liaise with them. There's some people who are not interested because they don't want this to be a shared experience. There's some who are. And so the question, Gubs, is when you're dealing with people's suffering, when you're dealing with people's greatest fears, when you're dealing with that, and there are other things, because they're, wow, incredible people who've risen to the challenge and are phenomenal. But when you are dealing with something that can be so challenging and so very sad, when warriors are lost, how do you approach it? Is it just, from your point of view, Gubs?
Sure. I guess, well, everyone's different, you know, so and everyone's an individual. And obviously everyone has their own needs and their own requirements and their own path and their own journey to walk or to travel. And, you know, you just got to sit down with them and listen to them and talk to them and see exactly what they need and how you can help them and just make them feel like somebody like really cares and really there for them and really wants to help them and really wants to be with them. Because a lot of the time, you know, sometimes they feel alone, or they feel they're the only ones that are going through this journey, and, you know, and what to do, and, you know, and you introduce them, and the whole part of the dealing is to introduce them to a whole family. And we say we are a whole family that, you know, we are a very personal family, and we're very in touch, and we phone, and we talk all the time, and what your needs are. And we always say to them that we're completely non-evasive in that way. So we always say that it's your journey, you got to work it, but we're here with you, so it's got to come from you. And, you know, and each one, and obviously we know that the journey changes over time, and we explain to them from when you're diagnosed to when you going through treatment, thank God, when you finish treatment and when you're better, and people have different needs through that journey, and that's where you've got to sit down with them and walk them and hold their hand through that journey. And, you know, and for us, it's very humbling to do that. And when mm-hmm. people know that there's actually somebody in an organization and people out there that care and really want to help them and not feel, I'm sorry for them, if you know what I mean in that terms, not to be so callous, but we're just there to lift them up and just to show them that there's actually life during cancer, you know? And to show them that they can live and have a good life and be there for them. So, you know, it's so hard to say exactly I do this or we do this because everyone is so different. So yeah, we just try and make everyone's journey as easy as possible, you know, and to walk them through that way, I guess, you know.
Nothing more powerful than human connection. They've done so much research on it, Gabs, and they've like, done research over long periods of time when they've said, okay, what is it that makes people happy and content? And very often it's the kind of relationships that they have. And I think that when people are diagnosed, so often there's certain relationships that can break down. People talk about losing people because there are people in their life that can't cope with their friend or family member, whoever it is, with this diagnosis.
Right.
And yet, as you say, you step in as a family and you all of a sudden ensconce in them with love and support and everything that goes with that. And you add a quality to their lives that perhaps they didn't have before. Very powerful. As I said, there is research that's showing it. So phenomenal.
To know that there is somebody and some people out there that are there for you no matter what.
That's it.
No matter what, that's really what makes it. And that positivity is halfway to recovery.
Yeah.
To have that positivity is already halfway to recovery, you know, which makes that journey and recovery much easier. So, you know, that's what we emphasize. We're there to hold your hand. Yeah. I always say to the people, please, God, you don't need us. But if you do,
then we're here.
And that's really all they want to know, that we want them to know that we are here. And that's really what the most important thing is, you know, that we're here for them and we want to be with them and help them and guide them and nurture them and love them. And that's what the center is going to be all about. You know, it's going to be a whole, I mean, the building is going like great guns.
I've seen the builders. It's amazing. Tell us a little bit about that before we chat to Terry.
So there's going to be two sides to the center. There's an admin side and then the warrior side. And I mean, it's at the moment, the guys, you know, you go home one day, you come back the next day and it looks like completely different, like a completely different place. But it's going to be beautiful. The center's going to be great. And the vision that, you know, the ladies have had, Terry and Tammy and Michelle, and that the vision that they've put together to have the center and to come alive and Devorah Lair's vision for the center to come alive. The other day we had a little get together as a little send off for the runners, and a lot of warriors came and we walked them through the center and we showed them what's going to be and what's going to be, and they stood there with their eyes wide, you know, so awestruck to say, wow, this is going to be for us, you know, and it's really for them. So they'll have a place to come and to just sit and be with each other, and so you don't have to go home and mope around and feel sorry for us. You can come to us and to the center, and it's really going to be an uplifting place that people can just come and enjoy and, you know, and just share the love that's going to be there. So watch the space. It's going to be an amazing
center. Oh, we can't wait to hear more.
It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be really something special.
And of course stressing, Gabs, that none of it would be possible if it wasn't for people's donations.
Absolutely.
The corporates have come on board.
Absolutely.
But the individual, and really when we're talking about now making the donation for the marathon tomorrow, that's making this all possible.
Absolutely.
But of course we've got the shidduch maker. She really is the matchmaker. She knows people. She leads with her heart. She's got the biggest heart. And she always seems to match up the right people. There's something that just seems to, drive her decisions or whatever she does, matching runners and warriors. So Terry Friedland, just a full-time staff member, just extraordinary human being. How's it, Terry? Welcome.
Hello, and Nick.
So great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. I don't have long, but I've got about 2 or 3 minutes.
Is that all you have? All right, Terry. Well, you tell us, how do you match a runner with a warrior?
Well, it's definitely team effort. Gabby sends me the list and we sit together and we go through it. And we've had unbelievable stories that have come out of it from not only Jerusalem Marathon. I mean, yes, Jerusalem Marathon has a lot of power, you know, with it. But with the 94.72, it's just quite unbelievable.
And Tia, I mean, you every year you do this, as you say, the 94.7, and you're doing the Jerusalem Marathon, and you just seem to find the right people. I remember at the Three Seas dinner, there was also this whole synchronicity that happened, and we had it on the show as well. Do you find that seems to happen a lot, that the one person connects with the other person who knows this person? Does that happen a lot with you, Tia, just kind of serendipitously?
It happens every single time, not even just once. I mean, I can't think offhand of some stories, but I do actually remember one from the 94.7 last year, where one of the riders, actually, he was riding for his doctor from when he was like a young boy. And they hadn't been in contact in years. And it just so happened that he got paired with his, you know, with his doctor. So there are tons of stories, unbelievable stories. Yeah, they're amazing.
Even this year, Tia met somebody. And when I sent them the message to say, you're running for this? When I said, oh, that's my cousin.
I can tell you though, I always say this, that I literally feel like Deborah Leia just walks us through these unbelievable paths, and I can tell you that quite confidently she definitely helps me through it.
Amazing. Well, yeah. Tia, thank you so much. I know you've got to go. Thank you. It's been great having you on the show.
Thanks, Nick. And just message just to all the runners in Joburg and in Israel, just enjoy it. It is a life-changing experience, especially the Jerusalem Marathon.
Thank you, Tia. Thank you for the amazing work, my darling. I'm sure it's a lot of work while everyone's away, while the cat's away. I'm not sure if the mice will play. We'll wait and see.
Well, I think everybody should come past our offices. Everybody who's listening, come past and have a look and be inspired, because it's really going to be unbelievable. Thanks, Nick.
Goodbye. Thank you, Tia. Go well. Gabs, and in a moment, Janice Liebefitz is going to be joining us, who is a DL-Link volunteer. She has run the marathon twice with her daughter, Eden. And
she's
I think
again.
That Eden is running running this year.
Again. Yes.
Amazing. So Janice is going to join us in a secchi. But now let's talk, Gabs, let's talk Yerushalayim Marathon. Mm. So how many times have you, I mean, you talk about plodalon, listen, if you take to the streets and you go up and down those hills, that's more than plodding along. Wow. How many times, because you've been there arranging, but how many times have you actually taken part?
Four. I've done a 21.
Four times.
21, 10, 10. And the last time that we went, I actually unfortunately didn't get a chance to run. I was busy with taking the team and stuff and organizing the team on the day because we couldn't get it. But I've been there four times, you know. So that's the most amazing experience I've ever experienced in my life. And like I said to most people, it's completely and utterly life-changing. Everyone is there. Obviously, you know, the Jerusalem Marathon is, everyone is doing it for a cause. You have to run the marathon for a cause. So everyone is doing it for a cause, and everyone is there for the same reason. Everyone feels holy, you know, and you run through the streets of Jerusalem, and everyone is friendly, and the vibe and the atmosphere and the party that goes on, and, you know, there's nothing like it in the world. There's nothing like it in the world. So even if you can't run, you can walk, everyone should think about experiencing it. You know, at its peak, at its heart, there's, I think, about 47,000 people that come from 72 different countries to do this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. 47,000 people. Yeah. What time does the race start in the morning?
So there's a few races. There's a 1.8 kilometer like family walk around Gan Sachar, where people in their prams and they walk with the families and they do that. And then there's a 5K, a 10K, a 21 and a 42. So the early ones, the 5Ks and the 42K go at about 7 in the morning, you know, and then obviously the 5Ks, however, Some people take a bit longer than others, like me. But the 5K, yeah, they start early in the morning. And then the 10K, there's like, because it's so popular, there's a different seating. It starts at between 9 and 9.30. So, but I mean, you see, you know, it happens on the Friday. So the Thursday night before, the whole of Jerusalem's closed. You can't get in and out of Jerusalem at that stage. It's just closed. They close all the streets. They close everything. They, you know, there's all the guards and the police and the soldiers and the security force and everything. It's, you know, it's probably the safest place to be at the time in Israel with all the armed security and all the guns running around. So you feel extra safe in that, you know. But they close off all the streets. Everyone runs through the streets of it. There's bottles lying around. There's water things people drop and things like this. And then by 3 o'clock, the roads are open and it's spotless again. Ready for Shabbos.
Amazing.
It's quite amazing.
That is just amazing. Yeah, yeah. And so, Ted, just tell me, with the team, gone. I mean, I know 50 people have gone over for this marathon, but do they all stay in the same place? I know that in the past there's been a Friday night, there's been a tour, there's been all of that.
So a lot. So there were, this year, in the previous years, there's been quite a big team going from South Africa. This year there wasn't such a big team. Most of the runners are there already. Either come from America or they've come from, or they live in Israel and stuff. So most of the runners that are running the Jerusalem Marathon this year are from Israel or based in Israel. So they'll come together probably like for the two. And you can, you know, a lot of the South African people that go for him are always staying in the same hotel and stuff like that. But most of the Israelis stay at their homes and then they come through. Like now they're busy doing a tour. So the tour starts on a Wednesday today. They're busy right now. There's a walk-in musical tour through the streets of Jerusalem. So there's a guy that goes around and takes you through all the spots and sings songs, you know. I think it's Giddy Hap this year that's doing it. And he sings songs and it takes you through and they take the history of Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, and take you through the saying, you know, and everyone experiences. And then I'm not too sure if they're doing the tunnel tour. We normally do the tunnel tour and then they'll meet at the Kotel and everyone will pray. And they've taken a lot of notes from people here and warriors here that have written notes to take and to put in the Kotel, and then they'll have pictures and then they go for a dinner, like a dinner. So they'll have a whole like tour day and things like that. And then, you know, and then there's a big Friday night dinner. There's always a Friday night Shabbos dinner that everyone comes together and experiences it. And I mean, it's after the race. Everyone is either exhausted, but still, you know, they're tired. How do you say it? You're full of life, but you're tired. You know what I mean? You're so tired, but you've got so much energy. I don't know how to put that in words. My English is not very good. But, you know, but that's how you feel. You feel energized and invigorated, even though is that the word, or so tired because you've just finished the most amazing experience and everyone is there for the same, you know? So, yeah, it's just an amazing, amazing experience. And just, you know, just to say to the runners, thank you for doing this for us and for the D-Link and for running in, you know, I deal with the warriors all the time and it's so meaningful for them. They completely overwhelmed and you know, and I mean, I went to present a shirt to a guy the other day and he was crying because he was so overwhelmed. So just to the runners, thank you so much for doing this and for running in our warriors' names and, you know, for praying for them. And, you know, every 4 steps in Jerusalem is a mitzvah and to walk and run through the streets of Jerusalem. And obviously thank you to all the donors and the people that have donated for the runners, you know, to do it. And like, as we said, it's a team effort, the runners, the warriors, the donors. So just a huge thank you to everyone that's participating and doing it. And obviously to Michelle and Tammy and Terry for organizing this tour. And thank you to Ranan as well for behind the scenes here. He's a new guy at our offices and he's really worked behind the scenes and really done a lot. So huge team effort, but especially to the runners and to the donors. Thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts. We really, really appreciate it.
Amazing. Thanks for explaining that, Gubs. I mean, we know that this year was a little bit challenging because the marathon was so close to Pesach. Yeah. And hopefully it won't be next year, so there'll be more South African runners as part of the DL Link team. But we're going to take a break. Gubs, I hope you're going to stay. You're a great storyteller, by the way. I don't know if anyone ever shared that with you. And we're going to take a break, and then Janice Leibovitz will be joining us.